Hello, and welcome to the She Flourishes podcast, a weekly soul-stirring conversation that lifts you out of the funk and into the flourishing life so you can live life as the best version of you. I'm your host, Brenda Jasmine. For the past 11 years, I've been coaching women and leading personal development workshops as a speaker and mindset coach. She Flourishes is an extension of those workshops and conversations and is designed to help you create the flourishing life that you were meant to live. Let's get started. Hello, it's Brenda here, and I want to wish you a happy International Day of Happiness. It's March 20th, and every year we celebrate this International Day of Happiness. It's actually not just like, you know, other national days that might be like a National Donut Day or National Taco Day, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with enjoying our tacos and donuts, right? But the International Day of Happiness is actually a UN sanctioned event. And in 2011, the United Nations adopted happiness as a fundamental human goal. So every year we celebrate Happiness Day. There's actually a World Happiness Report that comes out every year. And so it'll be coming out later today. And last year, Canada ranked number 13 on the list of countries for, you know, how happy people are in that country. And Finland ranked number one, and Denmark ranked number two. And I know we have a lot of listeners in the US, so you might be interested in knowing the US ranked number 15, Australia ranked number 12, so just above Canada, and the UK ranked number 19. So that was last year. The year before that, Canada ranked number 15. So last year we went up a couple spots, which was good. Although way back in 2015, Canada was actually ranked number 5. So we've kind of gone down a little bit, and hopefully, you know, over time we will start to become a happier country again. I think the pandemic definitely played a role in reducing the happiness level. When you look at the different things they measure happiness level by, then you can, you know, I won't get into it all right now, but if you're interested, you can Google World Happiness Report. You can find out more about it. And if you want to know where Canada ranks with the new report, I'm going to put that on my Instagram. So if you go to my Instagram, which is @_BrendaJasmine, I will post that later today, and you can see where Canada ranks on the World Happiness Report this year. So today, I thought what I would talk about, in the interest of talking about what makes us happier, I thought it would be good to talk about how we spend our leisure time, how we spend our free time. In addition to the coaching work I do and the workshops that I do, the personal development public workshops I do, I also do corporate training. And one of the programs that I teach in corporations, and was just teaching last week, is a program called Bounce Back Better. And one of the things we talk about, resilience is a big part of that program. And when we were talking about emotional resilience, one of the parts of that program is talking about how do we replenish ourselves? How do we restore our energy and kind of recharge our inner battery? And so one of the topics that came up and that's part of this program, but I'm realizing it's starting to be a really hot topic, and it's not talked about, I don't think, as much as it should be. And this is the whole idea of how we spend our leisure time and how our leisure time, our free time, can have an impact on our happiness. So there is a relationship between how we spend our free time and our happiness, and also, you know, how the ways in which we spend our free time, how much that can actually recharge us. So sometimes we think the ways we're spending our leisure time, like, you know, social media or watching TV, we might think that it's actually recharging our batteries. And in some cases it does, in some cases it doesn't. And there might be better ways of using our leisure time that would contribute not just to our happiness, but also to our energy and boosting that inner battery. what they have found, there's a few things I'm going to talk to you about today, and they're all based in science. One of the things that they found, this is a Psychology Today article by Max Alberhosky. He talks about this whole idea of free time and happiness, and he shared that less than 2 hours of free time per day, if we have less than 2 hours of free time per day, that makes us, you know, more stressed. So we actually have too much stress if we have less than 2 hours of leisure time a day. But if we have more than 5 hours of leisure time a day, it can cause a lack of feeling productive, and it can reduce our happiness. So the sweet spot for the amount of leisure time, it seems, is between 2 and 5 hours. So less than 2 hours, we're maybe being, you know, too productive, and more than 5 hours, we might get a little bit bored. So keep in mind, we want to feel productive. We want purpose. We want meaning in our lives. He also says in this article is that, you know, one really great way to spend your free time in a more productive way is if you're playing a team sport or you're volunteering. What they find is that doing that can maintain or boost your happiness. Another great way to spend your free time is to socialize. So if we spend our free time socializing with others, it can have a positive effect as well. So for instance, if someone is retired, if they join a club or they volunteer, they're typically happier than retirees that don't. Or if you're taking a vacation, if you want to plan a vacation that has the right balance of stimulation and relaxation, and that can actually make you happier. And it's funny, right? We think, oh, if I'm just laying on the beach all day, you know, that's going to be the thing that restores me. And some of that does, but a little bit of hiking or scuba diving or doing something else can actually make you feel even happier after your vacation. So we know that free time is a good thing. And then I want to talk a little bit about, you know, there's certain types of things that we can choose to do. So I mentioned, you know, definitely things like volunteering or playing on a sports team or socializing. Those are all great things to do. But we can even get a little more granular when we're looking at how we spend our leisure time. So if you think about your job or whatever the demands and stress you might have with daily obligations, so whether it's a job or maybe you're a full-time student, maybe you're a full-time caregiver looking after young children, maybe you're looking after aging parents, maybe you're doing all of those things, who knows? But think about, you know, we are all these days, it seems like we have a lot of daily obligations, and they can take a toll on us physically and mentally. And so we need to take a look at our leisure time so we can harness it and use it to our fullest. And what they find is just having leisure time is not enough. We need to recharge our batteries if we want to reach our potential, and if we want to maintain happy lives, and if we want to flourish and thrive. So we really want to look at how we can boost our energy. And I've been thinking a lot about this lately because I think these days, especially in this age of Netflix and social media, it can be so easy to just, you know, fall in the trap of, I'm going to watch a Netflix show. And then it's so easy, right? It's like, oh, next episode starts in 5 seconds. Or you think, oh, I'm just going to check my Instagram messages or my Facebook messages. And the next thing you know, you've gotten, you know, you're sucked into some time warp where you're watching reels, or, you know, you're scrolling. And I don't know about you, I find now with all the videos and everything, it's like your brain gets hijacked, and, you know, it's like dopamine hit after dopamine hit. And you really, you know, sometimes I'll shake my head and say, oh my goodness, I came here just to check a message, and I got sucked into all these other things on social media. So, and it's like that by design, right? They want us to spend lots of time on there. So we need to really take control back. I want to make sure that, you know, it doesn't mean I'm not going to go on social media. It doesn't mean I'm not going to watch a TV show, but it's about getting really intentional that, you know, yes, I'm going to spend time doing that, but I'm not going to spend all my leisure time or downtime doing that. And the cool thing is that we can tweak how we spend our leisure time, and we can do better than just recover in our leisure time. We can actually, you know, boost our and supercharge our time. So it's kind of like, you know, if you have a charging station that's a regular one, or you have like a supercharging station, right? Or if you eat, you know, food that's junk food, or you eat superfoods, how we spend our leisure time can really make a difference. And science has shown that when people use their leisure time effectively, not also do they feel more recovered, but they also enjoy higher levels of psychological well-being, they experience greater physical health, and improved performance at work. And a lot of this science and research I'm going to talk to you about today, and a lot of this work is based on the research of Dr. Jamie Grumman, who has a PhD, and he is a professor of organizational behavior at our very own University of Guelph here in Ontario, Canada. So I think it's really cool that this is this is based on Canadian research. And he's done a TED Talk on this topic. He's also written a book called Boost, The Science of Recharging Yourself in an Age of Unrelenting Demands. And his co-author on that is Deirdre Healy. He's also done, I'll put that in the show notes, as well as his TED Talk on the topic. What I love about this research that Dr. Grumman has done is it's really simple to use, and we can actually really apply it to our lives easily. So he has come up with this model called the Renew Model. So R-E-N-U is how it's spelled, and it's an acronym, and the R stands for rebuild. So actually the R-E stands for rebuild. The N stands for nourish, and the U stands for unhook. And I'm going to share with you a little bit more about what those three buckets are and how we can apply it to our own lives so that we really supercharge ourselves during our leisure time. Now, before I get into that, if you're like me, I know part of this, when I first started reading about this, I'm like, oh, great. Now they're telling us how to spend our leisure time. It's like, you know, if there's not enough shoulds in our life, right, about all the things we should be doing. So I did have a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction around that. But when you look into it more, part of what they talk about is how one of the things that can really help us to get the most out of our leisure time is having that sense of autonomy, which is that sense of, you know, we get to choose. So keep in mind that all of these are just suggestions, and you really need to come up with the perfect recipe for you. And think about what is it that, you know, maximizes your leisure time. And just because I'm talking about these things doesn't mean that you can't just spend all your time, you know, just do whatever you want. You just might want to play around with these and see how you feel when you try some different ways of spending your leisure time. Okay, so the first bucket is rebuild. And so in this rebuild bucket, what we want to do is replenish the resources that get drained by those daily obligations that we have. And so here you want to think about two types of resources. We have our physical resources and our psychological resources. So our physical resources, that's all the things that we do that take our physical energy. Like maybe your job is very physical, or your day-to-day, you're lifting boxes, or you're cleaning up after kids, or you're sprinting from room to room to take care of patients in a hospital. Those are some examples that they use in the book Boost. Or maybe a lot of your psychological resources are being used up. And what we mean by psychological resources, those can be things like concentration or your emotional regulation, like your self-control, like having to maybe deal with difficult customers, right? And having to, you know, maintain a sense of self-control. Or it could be things like auditing financial statements, or comforting an ailing parent, or anything really that is cerebral or emotional work, or something that takes a lot of concentration. And so the whole idea here with rebuilding is that we want our leisure time to draw on resources that are different than the ones that our daily obligations rely on. So for instance, part of what I do for the work that I do is I read positive psychology books, I read personal development books, listen to other podcasts, watch different, you know, documentaries or YouTube channels that or, you know, I really like to read research articles, anything like that that has to do with positive psychology, I'm all in. I love it. And so sometimes in my downtime, I'm like, oh, I'm going to read this book that has to do with positive psychology. The thing is if I spend all week, you know, teaching positive psychology and working on all of this, and then I spend all weekend reading about it, I'm not really giving myself a chance to replenish those psychological resources, right? So I would be better off spending my downtime, my leisure time, doing something more physical. So like when I go skiing or go hiking or doing things that are more physical, then I'm not tapping into those same resources. And vice versa, if your job is really, really physical, then spending all weekend doing something really physical that's similar. So for instance, let's say you work in construction and then all weekend you work with, you know, you volunteer with Habitat for Humanity building houses, you're not really giving yourself a chance to restore your resources. So number one, that first bucket that you want to fill is about rebuilding. So rebuild your physical resources and your psychological resources. And that what they show is that if you do that, then, you know, when you go back to your regular obligations on Monday morning, you feel a lot less burned out. So that's the rebuild bucket. The second bucket that Dr. Jamie Grimman talks about is, and it's the N, and so that is nourish. So it's the N in the Renew model. So the RE is rebuild, the N is nourish, and that stands for nourishing our human needs. So again, we have those two parts. We have physical and psychological, but in this case, we're talking about our physical needs and our psychological needs. Of course, we need food, we need water, we can't live without those, but we also need sleep, we need exercise, and those are areas that a lot of times, you know, we'll go on less sleep or we won't get as much exercise. But if we really want to boost our energy, we really want to live the good life, you know, we want to make sure that we're getting enough sleep and enough exercise. So those are the physical needs. And then we have the psychological needs also. And this is based on the work of Edward Deci and Richard Ryan from the University of Rochester. They talk about our psychological needs. There's three of them. One is the need for relatedness, which that is feeling close and connected to other people. So that's like spending quality times with friends, family, our partner. The second psychological need that we have is, I mentioned it earlier, that need for autonomy. So we need to feel like the activities and experiences that we're choosing in our downtime, that they're freely chosen. So that you pick, you know, where you're going to go on vacation, or you choose what you're going to do on your coffee break or on your lunch break or what you're going to do in the evening, that someone isn't telling you what to do. So that sense of autonomy really helps. And that's a psychological need. And the third psychological need is our need for competence. So feeling like we've mastered something. So we feel effective because we've mastered a challenge. So if we're thinking about our downtime, then we want to maybe spend time like learning how to play a new chord on the guitar and mastering that, or trying out a new recipe, or a new learning a new physical skill, like learning how to play pickleball or something like that. So we can nourish our human needs, those psychological needs, by making sure we're doing something where we're connecting with other people, where we're having that our need for autonomy met, and where we are feeling like we're mastering something, or we're getting better or learning, increasing our competence at something. So that's the second bucket. So the third bucket is to unhook. That the U stands for unhook. And so this includes relaxation as well as psychological detachment. So relaxation is just, you know, whatever it is that we do that feels relaxing. And we know that people that relax more in their leisure time feel more recovered than those who relax less. And psychological detachment, that's being able to mentally turn off from your daily obligations. And Dr. Grimman talks about something called availableism. So they used to talk about, you know, absenteeism at work, you know, people not showing up to work. Now we have this problem of availableism, where we're available all the time. We're constantly connected with our cell phones, and we're not really detaching, or maybe we're detaching electronically, but we're still thinking or ruminating about work, even if we go on a walk, or, you know, we're on vacation, but we're still, you know, if we've left our kids at home and we're on vacation with our spouse, we're constantly calling the caregiver asking to see how the kids are doing. So it's not enough to just physically separate ourselves during our leisure time from our day-to-day work, but also to psychologically detach as well if we can. It also affects, like talking about those physical needs, right? If we have trouble mentally shutting off, we maybe aren't sleeping as well, or we're not as present with our family. So that's the renew model. So just picture we've got those three buckets. So renew, it's an acronym. It stands for rebuild, nourish our human needs, and then unhook. And it's, and picture those three buckets, and we need to fill those up if we really want to recharge and we really want to get the biggest bang for our buck when it comes to that leisure time, or what we like to call smart leisure. And in case you're wondering, you know, what do I do with my downtime? You know, what are some things that the research shows are some good ways to boost ourselves and some good ways to renew ourselves? So a few of the different ones that they recommend in the book Boost is, and I won't get into detail, but just to give you like a quick list is, you know, time in nature. The second one is that, you know, not being as connected with your phones, cutting that, they call it cutting the virtual cord. So it can be really helpful to have rules to live by. It can be helpful to have that transition ritual from work to your office. So you could say to yourself, by 6 p.m., I'm going to be done and I'm going to close my door and be done for the day. And if you've been working in a home office all day, then you might want to make plans in the evening that get you out of the house. Maybe something social, or even just going out to run an errand, or maybe even better, getting out and going to the gym or going for a walk, going for a run. So you're getting some physical activity in there as well, especially if your job is sitting at a desk all day. And other types of, you know, rules that you could have to live by, sort of self-imposed rules, could be, you know, if you can, and I know not all jobs allow us to do this, but on weekends, if you can, you know, don't do your, you know, don't respond to any emails until Monday, or, you know, don't check emails till Monday. It's up to you. But, you know, if you're able to do that, that can be a way to, you know, cut that virtual cord, as they call it, and, you know, separate, create that separation between work and leisure time. And if you're on vacation, I know we talked about this in another episode, setting up that out of office email so that it can really help you to detach and take a break from being constantly connected at work. And it's really fascinating. You know, 95% of Americans own a cell phone and 77% have a smartphone. And, you know, it can be really great having these tools. Like right now, actually, as I'm recording this, I'm visiting with my in-laws, and I'm in Ottawa right now, so and able to record this episode actually on my smartphone, which I don't normally do. So isn't that great? You know, I can be away from home, and I can, you know, do what needs to be done, you know, meet deadlines or requirements that I have. It's amazing that it can allow us to, you know, do other things and then have other priorities and still, you know, be connected. So there's so many gifts in having the technology, but it's a bit of a double-edged sword where on the other side, it can cause stress and it can cause us to be in this constant state of activation, where, you know, we always have that cell phone. And some people say, you know, for this reason, they actually have a cell phone for work and they have a cell phone for home. So if you're a person that, you know, your cell phone is, you know, people are coming at you all the time from work, with work related activities, it can actually, just to even, you know, visually separate the two, and not even just visually, like, you know, the way we're connected, having a separate phone for work and home could be. Not everyone can do that, but it's something to think about. Another thing that we can do that can really help us with our smart leisure and how to spend our leisure time and what we can be doing. So we talked about spending time in nature. We talked about cutting that virtual cord with the office, as Dr. Jamie Grimmon talks about. The next thing is setting boundaries. And this is where we need to set maybe boundaries where we're like building, you know, not physical walls, but psychological walls between our obligations and our leisure time. So there's that, but also even the physical boundary, like close the door on your office at the end of the day. Have those, they call them behavioral boundaries, and communicate your boundaries. When I first graduated from university, I was in a job where I was working as an employment counselor. I was working with people that were long-term unemployed. And so people that were, their employment insurance had run out, they were now on welfare, and a lot of them were, you know, pretty distraught clients that I had. And I used to see, you know, actually thousands of people with this. It was a government program that I was working with. And I used to find that at the end of the day, I had to go through like a little ritual with leaving the office to really separate work and home, because I would worry about my clients. I remember I had one client, and he would come in, and I remember, you know, he would say like, I can't afford to buy diapers for my baby. And I remember like I'd go home and I would worry about this family, right? And so, you know, at work I could do things to try and help people get resources and do what they needed to do. But then at the end of the day, I had to like physically close my door, like close my filing cabinet, lock it. You know, I would be really mindful at the end of the day about how I would end my day. Otherwise, I would go home and I would not really be able to disconnect. So that's an example of, you know, a type of ritual, something that you can do to create a boundary, like a psychological boundary, but also, you know, real boundaries with people where you say, yeah, I'm not available at this time. And again, I know the fluidity of the workplace today, that may not be part of the corporate culture. You may not be able to say, I'm not checking email or whatever it is, but, you know, find ways that you can create boundaries that work for you to protect your leisure time. Some other things just quickly, we've already talked about in other episodes. We did a whole episode on sleep. You can go back if you're having issues with sleep as part of the Vitality series. You can learn more about that, but it can really be helpful to catch up on sleep during your leisure time. You know, if you have that sleep debt from the week, you know, napping on the weekend or taking time to get that extra sleep is great. Volunteering can be a great way to spend leisure time. And I mentioned that a little bit earlier, that can actually be a way that really boosts our energy and fulfills us. And that can actually be a pathway to flourishing as well. Another way that we can use our smart leisure is that can really boost our energy is to meditate or to incorporate mindfulness practices into your downtime. The research supports that. And of course, spending time with family and friends is huge. And I think I've mentioned before that the number one thing that we can do to be happier and flourish in our lives is to have those relationships, have positive and quality relationships in our lives. Other things we can do is we can exercise, we can take vacations, even like a day trip on a weekend or like a mini weekend getaway can be a really great way to spend leisure time if you're able to do it. And then there's this whole category of spending our leisure time doing hobbies. And so hobbies are really fascinating because, you know, we all, I get really curious about people's hobbies because I think it's really interesting. Like, what do we choose to spend our time on when no one else is telling us, you know, what to do, what we should be doing? What do we choose to do in our leisure time? I think this is what makes us all unique and it's really interesting. And the great thing about our hobbies is that we get to choose, and there's different types of hobbies. And maybe if you're listening to this, you're thinking, you know, I've, you know, been busy. I've been busy at work. I've been raising my kids. Like, I haven't even had time to think about a hobby, right? I know a lot of women feel that way. And so maybe it's time to think, like, what could be a hobby that you're interested in. And according to Wikipedia, there's different types of hobbies. So, you know, one, there's different categories, the ways to break them down. So one is, you know, activities that take place indoors. So baking or, you know, reading or, you know, what is it that you're doing indoors, or activities that take place outdoors, like scuba diving or maybe horseback riding. There's activities that have to do with having a collection. So some people, you know, they really like antiquing and collecting antiques, or someone might have a stamp collection or a coin collection or hockey cards. That can really be of interest to people. Competition is another form of a hobby. So it could be, you know, playing poker or playing a video game or something where you're, you know, playing cards or you're competing competitively. Some people sign up for races and things like that. Observation is another form of a hobby. So this could be something like bird watching or astrology, you know, like gazing at the stars and learning the different constellations. I know gardening is a form of a hobby that a lot of people really love, gardening. Or maybe you really love making recipes from other countries and, you know, trying out new recipes or perfecting the best chocolate chip cookie or whatever it is. And even things like creating a playlist of your favorite music, like that can be a hobby. That can be a way of spending your time. That can be a really creative endeavor. Or maybe you have a fish tank and you're trying to decide, you know, what kind of fish should go in your fish tank. What species of fish go best together and that type of thing. So definitely we can have all different types of hobbies. Some people have hobbies that actually can almost turn into like a side hustle, like it's a passion. Maybe you're a photographer and you're really into amateur photography, and then people start asking you, you know, can you photograph our wedding or do our Christmas photos? So maybe it's something like that, that you really, you have this creative endeavor that becomes something else that you maybe do make some income from. Some people love scrapbooking, painting, crossword puzzles, any type of enjoyable leisure activity that you voluntarily choose when you're free from your obligations. Yeah, so anything that is an enjoyable leisure activity that you voluntarily choose when you're free from obligations, that is considered to be a hobby. Now, the most common hobby in the world is interesting, may not surprise you, and I find it interesting that they even call it a hobby, but the most common hobby in many parts of the world is watching TV. And so I want to talk a little bit about TV and social media and video games, because I think that it's interesting, like, and sometimes they, you know, we, you know, say, oh, they're bad or not good ways to spend our time. But there is some research that can support a bit of this. So let's talk a little bit about TV and social media and video games as we wrap up here. So there's a trend forecaster by the name of James Wallman, and he's the author of Time and How to Spend It. And he says that many of us are spending our free time in ways that don't really make us happy. And he says that leisure time doesn't improve the quality of your life unless you know how to use it effectively. And so, you know, as now, usually most of the stats are American. So most American adults have 35 to 40 hours of free time per week. So these are leisure. So part of it is there's activities like household chores and things that we do. What they found, though, is that watching TV took up half of all of our leisure time on average. So half of the time that we spend, we have like free time where we're not actually working, we spend watching TV. And so we have to ask, you know, is this the best way to optimize our free time? So there is some interesting research around television watching that I thought was interesting, because, you know, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know, I like my Netflix. I like to watch my certain shows. And I know from talking to everyone, like, how often are you having a conversation? And even when people say they don't watch much TV, if you ask them, you know, about the latest whatever Netflix series or movie that's been released, oftentimes people have watched it or they know the series. And oftentimes people can tell you about a number of different, you know, Netflix or Prime Video or whatever streaming channel they're on, the latest thing that they've been watching. So I don't want to shame people into thinking that watching TV is all bad, because it's not. So researchers do spend time figuring out how we spend our leisure time. And according to the world's largest survey on rest, people reported that actually reading was the most restful leisure activity. And yet we found that, or they found that the most popular, in most places, the most popular leisure activity was watching TV. So on average, Americans spend 19 minutes a day reading, whereas on average, the average American spends about 5 hours per day watching TV or a streaming service, something like that. So that works out to 145 hours or 6 days per month, which is 72 days per year. And over the period of 5 years, the average American spends 1 year of watching television. And my guess is that Canadians are usually very similar. The stats are very similar. So probably Canadians aren't that far off what Americans are doing. So something to think about. And however, you know, is TV all bad? Like, you know, you can sort of say, oh, that's a lot of time to be spending watching TV. The research shows that television does help us to rest, recover, and recharge. Now, depending on what we're watching too, we could even maybe learn something, like if you're watching a documentary or maybe something inspirational, right? They've done some research that, you know, if we're feeling tired and we watch a movie, and like if we're feeling depleted, watching a movie can refresh us and it can increase our energy and vitality. So definitely, you know, it can have a positive impact. And if you think back to our psychological needs, having that need for autonomy where we choose our activities, choose what to watch in this case, that would fulfill the psychological need of getting to do whatever you want, right? I mean, I know I love it when I can just, especially, you know, if you're watching TV by yourself, you can just choose whatever it is that you want to watch, right? So you definitely get that sense of autonomy and you're resting and relaxing. The downside of watching TV is that if you also think back to our psychological needs, the need for relatedness and being social, TV may or may not have that. I know, you know, maybe if you watch it with a friend or you're going to a movie with a friend or, you know, your family members, you're all connecting. I know my daughter and I watch some shows and we're chatting all through the show about, you know, what's happening during some shows. And it can be something that, you know, we're connecting, right? Also, another psychological need is the need for competence. And TV typically doesn't, you know, make us feel like we're mastering any type of skill. Video games, on the other hand, we can feel like we're advancing to certain levels. So, you know, definitely, you know, although we might like to convince ourselves that, you know, you got through however many episodes, that's not really mastery or competence. The other thing with television is that it's sedentary. We're usually sitting, we're watching TV. We're often on our own, so it's typically not social. Or even if you are sitting with someone, a lot of times you aren't talking. And it's indoors. And we talked earlier about nature. And I meant to tell you too that when we spend 120 minutes per week in nature, so if you spend 2 hours a week, like throughout the week in nature, it can improve your health and well-being. So if you're watching a lot of TV, you're typically indoors. So if the average person's watching 5 hours a day of TV, a lot of experts will say that more than 3.5 hours a day is considered excessive. And the research also shows that very happy people spend more time socializing and less time watching TV. And happier people are more likely to seek new and interesting activities. It's kind of hard to find some of this research on television. I think so. Keep in mind, take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. Some of these numbers are, you know, about the ideal amount of time to spend watching television. I don't know. It's hard to find a lot of research about that. But I think it's good to just think about yourself, right? Like, and maybe do a little experiment where you gauge, like, you know, how you feel when you sit down to watch TV, how you feel when you stand up after watching TV, and you know, think about your mood and how your body feels, and you know, what amount is good for you. I think that's probably the best thing to do. And then, you know, I know sometimes you can feel great. You can be like, yay, you know, I watched my show. I feel terrific. I love what happened. And then you're able to kind of turn it off and go do something else. That's great. So look at yourself and what, you know, watching TV does for you if you indeed are a television watcher. And the interesting thing about some of that research around, you know, happier people spend more time socializing and less time watching TV, there is some thought, some people think, well, if you're, you know, feeling down, you're feeling depressed, you're actually more likely to watch TV. So some of this research can be a little bit tricky. So I encourage you with your hobbies and your downtime, your leisure time, just to think about, you know, what is the best mix of leisure activities for you? And things like television, that's considered a passive activity. So binging on Netflix, watching TV, those are passive activities. The other couple of activities that I know people have questions about, one is social media and another one is video games. So what we find is that the more creative and challenging activities usually make us happier in the long run. So passive activities like TV and scrolling social media don't necessarily make us happier in the long run. There's a couple of researchers out of Syracuse University, Sean Withington and Alexandra Punch, and they wrote a research brief on social media. And they came out saying that people who spend more than 2 hours a day on social media are twice as likely to report social isolation than those who spend less than 30 minutes a day, so half an hour a day, on social media. And excessive social media use is considered to be more than 2 hours a day. And we have to be especially careful with young adults. They're more likely to show signs of depression if they are on social media for more than 2 hours a day. So think about for yourself, the ideal would be, you know, less than 30 minutes a day. And so let's say you're on a couple, you know, different sites, maybe three different sites, you know, 10 minutes per site. And, you know, maybe set a timer. I have a timer on my phone that after 15 minutes, it times me out of Instagram and Facebook. So I can only spend 15 minutes and then I can ask it to give me more time. But it gives me a little message to say, you've been on this for 15 minutes now. So that's a way that I can be more intentional and more conscious about what I'm doing. Social media can be positive when you use your online networks to strengthen your real life interactions. Some of the cons or drawbacks of social media, so excessive use of social media, can be addiction. You know, it is designed to be addictive with the dopamine hits that we get. It can increase our loneliness. It can increase feelings of depression. It can add to reduced feelings of self-esteem and a reduced ability to develop meaningful relationships. Because again, if you're spending time with online friends and not seeing people in real life, you know, it can take away from the quality of the types of relationships you have in your life. They also find that more time on social media decreases perceived emotional support. It increases your fear of missing out, FOMO, right? And it can result in more superficial relationships. And, you know, if you spent any time on social media, I don't need to tell you, you know, how do you feel? Oftentimes you're comparing yourself to people whose lives seem impossibly perfect. And it's, you know, we start to compare ourselves. And having this frequent exposure to people's highlight reels or these highly polished, unrealistic pictures, it can give you a false impression that other people are living happier, more interesting lives than they actually are. So we're not even comparing ourselves to something that is real. And I know, even as an entrepreneur, and a lot of, you know, the work, the stuff I do is on social media, I'm always looking at these other entrepreneurs that are running online businesses. And I think, oh, like, they have it all together. They're doing everything perfectly. And, you know, I'm comparing myself maybe to people that have a team of 20 people that are doing all sorts of things. And then, and that's not healthy either too, because it's, you know, if you're someone who is a solopreneur and you're comparing yourself to a company, that's not healthy either. So just be really conscious of, you know, realizing that what we're looking at is definitely something that is highly curated and often highly polished. Okay, and last but not least, I just want to mention briefly computer games. And so, you know, I think, you know, computer games, they have a bad reputation, and yet that can actually be a really great way, you know, again, with moderation, video games, they can be interactive because, you know, people have headsets on and it can actually be social. The other thing is it can give you that feeling of competence. It can give you the feeling of autonomy, and it can allow you to disconnect. So an example that they give in the book Boost is they give an example of a man who his job is very social. He needs to be, you know, talking to people all the time. He's in a fundraising position. And so for him, being able to go home at the end of the day and after his, you know, kids have gone to bed, to turn on a video game and spend time on this baseball video game that he plays is actually a really great way for him to disconnect and recharge and use, you know, a different set of skills than what he's using all day where he has to, you know, be social and talking to people all day. So it can have its place. So, you know, I know a lot of times we think, oh, video games are just a waste of time. It's not as passive. It can be more active in terms of, you know, it's engaging your brain in a different way. So in closing, I want to share with you, one of the things I was reading is that when we're choosing what we're going to do with our leisure time is to ask yourself these questions. And I thought these are really good. One is, does it leave you with a story? Another one is, does it change you for the positive? Does it allow you to unplug? Does it improve your relationships? Does it feel challenging? Does it make you feel a sense of awe? Does it make you feel that you are playing an active role in society, you know, something like volunteering? So really get curious and ask yourself those questions, you know, especially too if you're thinking of taking up a new hobby, or if you're assessing how you're spending your leisure time. These are great questions to ask. The other thing that they mentioned doing in the book Boost is to, you know, list the things that you do for your leisure activity, and then to get really curious, and after you've done each activity, to rate, you know, how happy did it make you? So maybe on a scale of 1 to 5, to say, you know, 1, I felt extremely happy. Maybe 0 is you didn't feel, you know, maybe it was mildly pleasant. So really think about, you know, and assess how you're spending your leisure time. And maybe it is time to switch things up. Or if your leisure time, like most people, is spent on things like television and social media, looking at how else can you spend your leisure time so that you really not only recharge and rest, but that you actually become happier and you actually improve the quality of your life. Because that's really what we're talking about here on the International Day of Happiness, is what can we do to be happier? And if, like I said at the beginning, if you're feeling like, I'm happy with how I spend my leisure time and my social time, and I don't want anyone telling me what to do, you don't have to do any of these things. It really is about having the autonomy to spend your leisure time, spend your downtime the way you want to. I think it's just really interesting to get curious and notice and get really intentional about how we spend our leisure time. I know I'm going to start paying more attention to how I spend my leisure time after learning more about this, and I hope you do too. In the meantime, I hope you have an amazing International Day of Happiness, and please make sure you check out my Instagram. And if you're not following me on Instagram, I'm at _BrendaJasmine. And I will be posting where the world rankings, those top rankings for the World Happiness Report. And you'll be able to find out where Canada falls on that list. And I'll also post the US and Australia and the UK, as well as the top three countries as well, because I think that's really interesting to look and see where we are here on this March 20th of 2024 with the World Happiness Report. Thanks so much for listening. And here's to you and your flourishing life. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the She Flourishes podcast. I hope this episode has inspired you to keep on creating the flourishing life you deserve. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend who would benefit from it. And remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you're listening. To learn more about how you can live a flourishing life, head over to brendajasmine.com or follow me on Instagram @_BrendaJasmine. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, keep on sharing your gifts with the world. See you soon.